Please forgive me, I find it harder and harder to speak this English language, especially after many years of not speaking at all. The words just don't come sometimes, so bear with me. I want to turn with you to the scripture, to Philippians chapter 1. I shall read verses 7 through 11. Philippians chapter 1, reading from verse 3 to 11. Let us hear God's word. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. Verse 8. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. May God bless us through the reading of His holy word. Let us pray. Father, I stand before your saints and before you naked, helpless. Speak to me, hide me behind your glorious cross. And tonight, Lord, like you feed your disciples with bread, feed us with the bread of life. And help us tonight, not just to be the hearers, but to be the doers of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just before I left my home for United States, we had a small group meeting at our home. It was a prayer meeting, and about 20, 30 of our neighbors came together and wanted to pray for me. They prayed for me, and as we were collecting prayer items, my youngest son, Moon Boy, requested that everybody should pray that I would bring him a toy gun. Interesting. And after that, his sister stood up, my second daughter, Kim Kim, 7 years old, and said, "Oh, I also want a Barbie. Pray that my dad will bring a Barbie." So I have to bring, buy a Barbie and a toy gun for my son and my daughter. And one young man stood up, and he said, "Well, I really want a Samsung mobile handset, a good one. Can we pray tonight?" Interesting. You know, we ask God almost anything we want. We ask God things sometimes may sound to Him silly. But He's our Father. We trust Him. It's like children asking anything we want from our Father. You know, those prayer requests were a little shocking, a little surprising. But we all ask privately or publicly to God what we want. In fact, I asked a beautiful wife and God gave me. And many of you did that. We ask things that we wish that we have. God has given us. Tonight, I want to see with you what should we be asking God that we might grow individually and collectively as a church? What should we be asking God? What have you asked God for yourself lately? That you might grow in faith? What have you asked as a church from God that we might grow as a church, as a community of believers? The church here to whom Paul has written, the church in Philippi, was a church very immature. This church was very emotional in many ways. They were impulsive. They were changeable. They were impetuous. They were loud and proud. They were curious about everything. They were strange. They loved strange things. They looked for unknown. They were also very immoral in many ways. The culture and the church itself was influenced by immorality. Sexual immorality was rampant in this church. And even some of the church members were practicing. They live a different lifestyle. I think they were very condoning even to homosexual lifestyle those days. They were immoral in their worship. They were immoral in their worship of nature. They do anything to get something they want. They were very materialistic. They were divided in their doctrine. They were Jewish converts. They were Gentile converts. They have different worldviews. And one commentator said that they were even racist in many ways. In that situation, Apostle Paul has written to them and told them that he prayed for them. And his first prayer item for this church is that their love will abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insights. Tonight, we should be asking God that we will love one another so much that we will love God so much that our request will be heard. The first thing that we should ask from God is that, God, help us to love you. The word used here is agape love. Agape love is unconditional love. That love is born of God. And if you don't have Jesus Christ, you won't have that love. Only those born of God will have that love. We may love one another with human love, but the love that is talked about here is written here. The love that Apostle Paul is asking them to love with one another, to love God, is this agape love, the love of Jesus Christ. I think what is fundamental here is that we should have Jesus Christ in us. We should have His love in us, so that with that love, we can love God. With that love, we can love others. I think it is important that we must have the love of Jesus in us. Do you have that? When Apostle Paul asked them to love one another, to love, that they abound in love more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, I think of one thing that Apostle Paul was encouraging them to love God. What is loving God? You know, to me, loving God is a desire for His Word. When I was a young man, a teenager, I fell in love with a young girl. You know, teenager, when they fell in love, how serious they are. In those days, there was no phone in India where I lived. The only thing that we can way to communicate is writing letters. I would write pages and pages and pages of letter and mail. She would write pages and pages and pages of letter and mail. When we meet, we cannot stop talking to one another because we want to hear one another. There are times I was in college and I fell in love with the postman because the postman always bring my girlfriend's letter. You know, when we really love someone, we want to hear from them. How can we hear God? From His Word. Do you love His Word? Are you reading this morning? Are you meditating on it? Are you teaching your children the Word of God? One of my regrets in life is that I memorized so much Hindu poems. I can recite, and I wish I can convert them into Bible verses today, but it is too late. Because when I was growing up, I was not growing up as a good Christian. My parents didn't mind. I was learning all the Hindu things. I learned these Bible verses much later in life. You know, loving God is loving His Word, wanting to hear His voice. Whether you love God or not, you can know, you can test yourself whether you love His Word or not. How about prayer? Prayer is talking to God. Don't you want to talk to somebody whom you love? We don't want to talk to people we don't love. We always want to talk to people we love. Are you praying? Do you want to talk to God? How about worship? The Apostle Paul is telling this church that let your love abound in knowledge and in depth of insight. Love God deeply. How about in worship? You know, to me, missing a worship service is like it paralyzed my whole day. We worship God because of His greatness, His majesty, His power, because He is God of gods, He is Lord of lords. Do you love to worship God? Oh, you don't really care. Sunday morning comes. To me, sometimes I consider not worshiping God on Sunday morning is almost like a sin. How about giving, tithe and offering? In our church, we make tithing compulsory. You like that? And there were times in early days, like 10 years ago, on the notice board, we would put up people who tithe and people who don't tithe. And I think we become more and more advanced and civilized. They didn't like it. So we took it off. There were times in early days that we excommunicate those who don't tithe. Interesting. And we also excommunicate those who work on Sunday. Very serious. But the principle is that, you know, if you love God, you ought to give your tithe a minimum requirement. Everything is God's. He just asks only 10%. That is loving God. Now, having said all this, having heard all this, can you say that you love God? How about your prayer life? How about your reading of the Word of God? How about your worship life? How about your giving? Now, loving God must also reflect in loving our fellow being. In fact, the Bible talks about loving one another as I have loved you. Jesus said, love one another deeply. And if you love one another, that they will know that you are Christian by your love. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. You know that song? Love one another. If you cannot love your own brother, the love of God is not in you. The Bible says that. So those who really love God are people who also really love their fellow human being. And especially loving the lovable is easy. Loving people who can repay back, who can pay back, is pretty easy. Even the Hindus do that, the Muslims do that. Even good people do that. But of course they love with human love. But when we love with the love that is given to us by Jesus Christ in our heart, it is unconditional love, and Christians are called to love the unlovable, to love our enemies, to pray for them. Just consider what you have said to others. Just consider what you have done to others. Just consider how you love your neighbors for some time, for a moment. You'll realize whether you love the unlovable. Our love must be in action. God takes special note of churches and individuals who love one another deeply and bless them. I remember when I was in college, I was like a pastor, though I was not. We had there are thousands of students in our university where we studied, master's degree. There were only 20 Christian students. We love so much one another. We share our problem. We meet every week. We pray together. And people are watching. And two Nepali girls came and said, "There's something different in you. We saw you loving one another, caring for one another." And they said they wanted to be a part of our group. Welcome. So two Nepali girls came to know the Lord Jesus Christ by seeing how we demonstrate our love towards one another. Loving one another. When Apostle Paul asked this church, "Let your love abound more and more in depth of insight," Apostle Paul says that love God deeply, love men, your fellow men, deeply as well. Do you love your fellow men? Do you love the unlovable? In 1 Corinthians 13, 4, chapter 4 and following, the Bible says that love is patient, love is kind, love doesn't envy, love doesn't boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, not easily angered, love keeps no record of wrong, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. Love always protects, love always trusts, love always hopes, and always perseveres. Is our church abound in love? Do we love one another? Can others see us and tell that, oh, these members of Faith Presbyterian Church love one another so much, I want to be a part of them? When you love the unlovable, when you love one another, people notice, and we will be added daily. The second prayer Apostle Paul prayed for this church is that they should that they might be able to discern what is best here. So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. A second prayer Apostle Paul prayed for this church is that, and we should be praying for that, that Lord help us to discern what is the best. We live in a world of many choices. We live in a world that is overwhelmed by wrong teachings, idolatry, philosophies, traditions, materialism, superstition. I'm surprised to see many Americans coming to India to consult astrologists, witchcrafts. We live in a world of sexual perversion. We live in a very sinful world and very perplexing world. And we live in a world where even Christian preachers are preaching humanism, that rather than trusting God, they tell us to trust in positive thinking, to trust in prosperity. In fact, prosperity theology simply teaches that God is not great, but materialism is great. And in our culture, Christ is decreasing and man is increasing. No, this is a very interesting prayer offered by Pastor Joe Wright at the opening of a new session of Kansas Senate. Listen to this prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, "Oh, to those who call evil good," but that is exactly what we have been doing. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values. We have ridiculed the absolute truth of our word and called it pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it politics. We have embezzled public funds and called it essential expenses. We have institutionalized bribery and called it suites of office. We have coveted our neighbor's possession and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with pornography and profanity and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Amen. This prayer reflects our culture. In the midst of all these choices, our prayer should be, God, help me to choose the best. Help me to be able to discern what is best for my life and for my church life. Help me to discern what is the best for my family. Let us ask God to enable us to discern not just what is good from bad, what is bad from good, but to be able to discern the best for me, for my family, for my church, and for my community, which is pure and blameless until the day of Christ. The third prayer Apostle Paul prayed for the Philippian church is that they should bear the fruit of righteousness. Here the Bible says this, filled with the fruit, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God, filled with the fruit of righteousness. What is that righteousness that the Bible is talking about here? The righteousness of Jesus Christ. I like that King James word, imputed. Christ's imputed righteousness in you. I think what is imperative here is that we must have Jesus Christ. And Christ must impute in us His righteousness. The Bible says that the righteousness of human being, our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We can do nothing with our righteousness. It will not do any good to anybody. It will not do any good to me, nor to my church, nor anybody. But the righteousness that is imputed in us can transform life, will bear fruit of righteousness. Do you have that righteousness in you that Christ has imputed in you? Do you have Jesus Christ? Without Jesus Christ, we cannot bear. Without Christ's righteousness in us, we cannot bear the fruit of righteousness. The Bible says in Galatians 5, 22 to 26, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And here the Bible says that those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Bearing the fruit of righteousness, bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Now we should be asking God this afternoon, my friends, that God help me to bear the fruit of righteousness, to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if you cannot pray that prayer, maybe the first thing that we should ask is that, God, come to my heart tonight. Take possession of my heart. Fill my heart with your righteousness. Without knowing Jesus Christ, without His righteousness imputed in us, we can never bear the fruit of righteousness. God help me. God help my church to bear the fruit of righteousness. Ask God to let you bear the fruit of righteousness all the time. That will glorify. The fruit of my righteousness will not glorify God, will not bring praise to God. But the fruit of Christ's righteousness in me, bearing fruit, will glorify God. And it will be praise to God. Tonight, my friends, what should we be asking God? We should ask God tonight that He would help us bear the fruit of righteousness. That it would help us to discern what is best, that is pure and blameless. That He should help us, that we should ask God, that God would help us to love Him deeply, to love Him sincerely, and to love one another deeply and sincerely. That the world will see and know that we have Jesus Christ. We have His righteousness. May God bless you.